Morning, everyone. The Bible reading for today is taken from Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 13, and it'll be coming up on the screens, and you can also feel free to take a church Bible and follow along if you'd like as well. They're just by the door. And this is the parable of the 10 virgins. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise ones, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour."
Okay, good morning, everyone. I'll just check the sound is okay. Is that coming across okay? I'll keep talking, and if there's any problems, I'll look to the sound desk. So, yeah, helpful if you've got the Bibles open to Matthew 25. If you don't have a copy of the Bible, like we said, there's one just near the entry door there. And we're going to go through the passage this morning of that Jesus talks about with the parable of the 10 virgins or the 10 young women. So one thing I'm going to ask is, have you guys ever been in a position where you've thought, "Ooh, not really ready for this"? Maybe it might have been an exam, might have been a date, maybe job interview. For me, I once remember having a job interview. And I remember having a shower and thinking to myself, just going over, you know, the job interview, thinking, "This is great, they've got this job interview." It was quite an important one for my career. And I remember thinking, I'm really pleased, I really hope this goes well, because I really want this. This will be really a good kind of trajectory to start to follow for my career. And I got out of the shower, and I remember picking up my phone just to check the time and thinking, "Ooh, it's a bit later than I thought," and then kind of hit Google Maps to work out how long. And I remember thinking, the time Google Maps was telling me to take was about a minute longer than when my interview would start. So I start, you know, that feeling of panic, get in the car, you're heading down, I'm thinking, haven't even read over the job application again, haven't even read over what I said. I got there, I'm in a kind of a frantic mess, I couldn't find the building, there's all these different buildings, no numbers. Then I found the building, ran upstairs, "I'm not going to make it, I'm going to make it, I'm not going to make it." Burst through the door, but just kind of, you know, you burst through, but kind of that cool hello. And looked at my watch, it was 10:01, my interview was 10 o'clock, and I thought, "I've made this, 1 minute's totally fine." But the lady at the desk wasn't really that easy, and she said, "Oh, hello." I said, "Yeah, my name's Simon Pratt for the job." And she said, "Yeah, you know, there's some questions you need to answer before the interview, just on the chair over there." And that feeling of horror when I looked over, and there were these questions which hadn't been asked before. They were a new set of questions, and I realized I was totally underprepared. I was foolish. I'd messed up. The door was going to open for the interview panel. I was going to go in, and I had not prepared. I could have prepared if only I'd been there earlier. And the point is, I wasn't ready, and there was quite a bit riding on it. Now, I bet there's been a situation in your life when you think you haven't been ready. And it's interesting that this is what this story by Jesus is all about. So let's have a look, a bit of a closer look together. Let's go back to verse 1. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, The scene is a village wedding. There's 10 young women waiting to escort the bridegroom in this kind of torch-like procession into their wedding banquet. They'd usher him in, there'd be an announcement, and then these 10 young women would come through, and everyone would know the doors opened up, the bridegroom has finally arrived. Now, these lamps in these days, they're kind of our equivalent of torches, but what they were these oil-soaked rags wrapped on a stick. And what you'd do is you'd light them up and the oil would burn, but after a while the oil would be consumed, so you'd have to dip it in more oil and then light it up again to keep going. So this morning we're going to have a look at this parable from Jesus with 2 points and one question. Point one we're going to look at is about being wise and not foolish. Point two we're going to look at is being ready and not foolish. And the question we're going to look at is, why does being ready matter? So let's look at point one, being wise and not foolish. And let's look at how Jesus describes these 10 young women. So Jesus calls 5 of the young women foolish or stupid, and 5 of the young women wise or sensible. We can read it in verse 2-4. Feel free to follow with me. Verse 2. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. So why does Jesus call one group foolish and the other wise? Let me tell you a little story about my second year in physio. I was in our particular year group, I was surrounded by some pretty funny guys, and I used to think I could kind of hold my own. There was quite a lot of good banter and good humour, and that humour from outside of class often carried over to in class. And we would joke around quite a lot. And one day I remember the lecturer stopping the class and looking at me and saying, "Simon," in front of everyone, "I think you're more here just to joke around rather than learn." I remember thinking, "Oof, I got this guy." You know, thinking, "Oof," and I thought, that's pretty harsh, you know, kind of singling me out. But when I thought about it, I thought, that's probably fair. I was joking around a lot. And it was a good point. I was being stupid. I was being foolish because I thought I was the same as everyone around me. But what was happening is they were focused and they were getting ready for the exam. They were taking in the material. And I was busy joking around, not doing what I needed to do. I wasn't getting ready for the exam. I was foolish. So with Jesus, why does he call one group foolish and the other wise? Well, it revolves around what the young women should have known because of the role they had. They needed to have that light to guide the bridegroom in. And just like me in the physio course, the foolish ones were the ones who weren't ready for their role. Now, in the parable, you can be sure that the young women would have been pretty excited. They'd been chosen for this special role of welcoming in the bridegroom. I'm sure there's people here who've been a flower girl or a page boy. And you know that time when you're young and you get that brief from your parents. You're there early, your parents tell you exactly what you need to do. You're very prepared. And even as a little kid, you're thinking, okay, I've got to do this exactly right. There's a lot riding on this. But it's really exciting, and it's so exciting, and you know it's such an important thing because everyone's going to see you first before the bride arrives, that you prepare and you don't mess up. So how come it is that these young women aren't ready? See if we can understand it a bit more from verse 5 to 9. So let's read verse 5. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps, so they got their lamps burning. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, you go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." Now, the people in this story are most likely ordinary people in a small town in Palestine. In this culture, a wedding's a very big deal. It was one of the few events in the life of a family where you used up a lot of resources like time and money. They worked hard back in those days, and this is a time when they said, "Hey, let's hit pause, let's all celebrate together." Now, the bridegroom, so the guy getting married, would come with his groomsmen and his group of mates from where he lived. And that could be a long way away. So you'd never know exactly when the bridegroom and his friends would turn up. See, on my wedding day, Luce was delayed, quite delayed, and I didn't know the exact time she would come. But I needed to be ready. I needed to be at the church there. It'd be weird and it'd be foolish if she arrived and they'd be like, where's Simon? It just wouldn't work that way. So there's two things these women needed to know, isn't there? One, they needed to know that they had a significant role in the way things happened. They had this place of honour. They were told, you get to wait for the bridegroom and his friends, and you get the privilege of announcing that he's arrived and escorting him in. They needed to know that. And secondly, they needed to know that the bridegroom would definitely turn up. In that culture, you could know with absolute certainty the bridegroom would come. One, because it would cause a massive shame on his family if he didn't come. And secondly, back in that culture, the bridegroom's family would have paid the bride's family money to take the bride into their family. And so it was just in that culture, he would definitely be coming. There was no way he wouldn't turn up. So what does all this mean? What is Jesus saying it means to be wise and not foolish? Well, Jesus using the young women to challenge his hearers back then and us, you and I, today with this idea of how do we make sure we're wise and ready for what's to come? Or put another way, Jesus is saying, how could we be so foolish as to not be ready when we know these two points? We know we've got this role of honour where God's actually inviting us to be part of his family. And two, we know the bridegroom, Jesus, is definitely going to turn up for us and we'll get to celebrate with Jesus. So point one, be wise, not foolish. What's the difference between foolish and wise? It's being ready. And that brings us to point two, about being ready and not foolish. It's significant in verse 10, if you have a look at verse 10 with me, it's significant that Jesus changes the way he talks about the five wise young women. He talks about them as the ones who were ready. They all should have been ready, but half of them weren't. Do you remember what Jesus said? Have a look in verse 10. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet. Let me tell you a story about my dad. Now, he was in good health, and then at his yearly checkup with the doctor, he had this odd blood test result. Now, within 3 days, he was diagnosed with leukemia, and he was told it wasn't a great diagnosis. Now, this was a crazy 72 hours. He went from thinking he was in full health to being told he doesn't have that long to live. Now, in hospital, when he was told of this diagnosis, the chaplain came round, and as they often do in the hospitals now, with part of that care is when someone's had a diagnosis like this, the chaplain comes around to talk to the person. And Dad was very calm, and so calm that the chaplain said, you know, do you understand what you've been told about this prognosis? And Dad replied, yeah, I understand. I know I'm going to die, and I know where I'm going. I'm going to be with God. He was, in fact, ready. But a lot of people in his position aren't. Do you know there is great rest in the readiness of being ready? The point is, being ready, you're not always on high alert, but you are ready. Like these five prepared young girls ready for the bridegroom, we're ready for Jesus. So we've had two points. Be wise, not foolish. Be wise with this knowledge that you know you're in a privileged position. We're in this privileged position where we get to be knowing about Jesus and knowing that he's going to come, and he definitely will come for his people. And so with that knowledge, point two, be ready and not foolish. It leaves us with a question, though. Why does being ready matter that much? You know, five of the women run out of oil. I mean, that happens sometimes in life. Like me in my job interview, there's sometimes in life when you're just not ready for things. So why does that really matter? Well, there comes a point in Jesus' story when it is too late. The five foolish young women have missed their chance to get into the wedding celebrations. Let's have a look at the second part of verse 10 again. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. The door was shut. There is a permanent ring about it, isn't there? Anyone here just finish year 12 or going into year 12? No one here? Yes, Anna. What was your favourite subject, Anna? History. Okay, let's say history. Let's imagine all of us in this room are doing history. We're in year 12 and we've decided, not only are we doing history, but we've decided, I am going to be a history teacher. And uni has told me that if I want to be a history teacher, I need to have a good result in history to get into uni, to do history at uni, to then do teaching. We've got the picture, we're all year 12. Now, you get you're doing your final exams, your ATAR exams, and you've been given the timetable, and they've said, okay, this is the date of your final history exam. You know I've got to do well on this. It's a lot riding on this because I've got to get into uni. And you're told that the exam starts 9 o'clock on this particular date, and at 9:10 the doors are shut. You know this exam has a big bearing on your life and career. So how foolish would it be if you missed that time and the door is shut? There'd be no one else to blame. It can't be changed once the door is shut. Everyone else is in the exam and they've started and away they go. You could plead with the exam officer. You could say, I know the material. There's been a mistake. I'm just a bit late, but I know that. That's what I've been studying for. I need that to get in. But with your ATAR exams, it's strict. The exam officer says, I'm sorry, it's policy. Once that exam's, they're away, we can't let anyone else in. It's over. In the parable, the five bridesmaids who were ready entered in with the bridegroom to the house, and the doors closed. Therefore, everyone should be inside. The bridegroom is the last piece of the jigsaw puzzle. Whoever's outside after the bridegroom goes in doesn't belong. But they don't have a place in the celebrations. In that culture, once the bridegroom is there, everyone who should be in is there ready. So what does being shut out mean for the young women in Jesus' story? Let's read verse 11 and 12 again. Later, the others, the foolish young women, also came. Lord, Lord, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, truly, I don't know you. I tell you, I don't know you. The five foolish bridesmaids returned with their oil and addressed the person at the door. Lord, Lord, you know, open the door for us, they said. Lord's an intriguing word for us. I don't know exactly what it is. It could be that the person is the master, maybe the head of the household in charge of the servants. But whoever it is, the young women are speaking to someone who has the right to decide upon things. Now, often in Jesus' parables, the punchline comes at the end, and it's the same here. The girls knock on the door, and the master's response in verse 12, I don't know you, is shocking. These are the young women who have been chosen for that very important role, and now they're not even known. They're on the outside. They should have been on the inside because they should have been ready. It's shocking that those who are selected to wait for the bridegroom, this honoured role, have missed out. You can just imagine, you don't understand. We were the ones who had that important role. We were meant to be ushering them in. Guys, I don't know you. Everyone who should be inside is now inside. Everyone listening to Jesus speaking this parable at the time would think, how could they do that? How could those young women, what's wrong with them that they weren't ready? But the shock of the bridesmaids is a shock for us too, because Jesus talks about not knowing people here. That's what being ready is. That's the oil in your lamp. It's knowing Jesus. Jesus says in verse 13, therefore keep watch because you do not know the day or the hour. Just like the bridesmaids didn't know the exact time when the bridegroom would come, we don't know the exact time Jesus will return. The end of the story shows that if we don't know Jesus, we'll also be shut out from eternal life too. This great celebration when Jesus comes again. So for those five foolish bridesmaids, there came a point when being not being ready meant they were too late to get into that wedding celebration. They were shut outside. Well, where does that leave us? Jesus does highlight how terrible it would be to miss out and not be ready. But he also highlights how good it will be when Jesus does return. He's coming back to start the wedding celebrations. What a privilege for these young women to be invited to have this role of welcoming that bridegroom in. Jesus is offering us a privileged role to join the celebrations. Jesus is saying, it's not too late yet. There is still time to get ready. Jesus has not yet come to start the wedding banquet, this great celebration the Bible talks about that will be like no other. So if we know what's to come, why would we put ourselves in that position where we're on the outside? In the parable, the bridegroom were a long time coming. Jesus may seem like a long time coming to us. We might get distracted in this life. We might think, we don't need that oil. We don't need Jesus in our life. You know, the five foolish bridesmaids probably had a great time waiting with the five wise bridesmaids. And we might have a great time in life waiting with those around us. We might think, we're all the same here. Life's great. We've all we need in life. We don't need Jesus. We might not have even noticed that those right next to us have this extra oil. They have turned to trust Jesus in their life. The Bible says some are ready and some are not ready. I can tell you, and I know this is probably no surprise, that the majority of people in the world will think it foolish and rubbish to get ready and trust Jesus with your life. It may be now you're sitting in this chair thinking, I think it's pretty foolish too. Maybe this doesn't seem like Jesus is worth getting to know. Jesus beckons people. Don't be foolish. Don't get shut outside. Be wise. Be ready. Turn and trust in me. Know Jesus. For those of us that do know Jesus, we want to keep waiting. Settle in. Keep going because it's going to be worth it. And Jesus has given us some simple ways to keep knowing him, to keep being ready. Things like heading to church, heading to youth group, going to Bible study, keeping on praying, sharing our prayer requests with our friends. All of these things help us to keep trusting and knowing Jesus. Lots of ways to keep our oil full. You, me, we've all been invited by Jesus to be his friends. And when he comes again, he's not just coming back for himself, but also for us. He will invite us into the most joyful celebration ever held. He'll never stop. I mean, how good is that? God welcomes his people to live with him forever, to be part of his family. The bride price for us has been paid. God paid that price for us to take us into his family by sending Jesus to die for us. We've been given this honour to be there. And Jesus, just like the bridegroom in the parable, will definitely come back for us. So whatever we do, let's not blow it. Let's be ready. Let's pray together. God, thank you that Jesus is coming again for us to join the celebration with you forever. We thank you that Jesus paid the price for us to be part of your family. Lord, we have this privileged position where we've heard about Jesus. Help us to be wise and ready and to trust in Jesus. Amen.